Howdy do, buckaroos. This is the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast for Friday, November 2nd, 2018. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I am good. This is my first time on your version of the show, Miss Kelly.
Well, buckle up, because today it's probably going to get weird, because today is our other panelist's last day. Hi, Jeff.
No. Say it's not true.
Wait. I'm not going to be here anymore?
No.
Brian, I thought you were going to talk to him about this. This is awkward.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we're going to miss you, Jeff.
I'm going to miss you guys, too.
So today's a very special episode because it's Jeff's last day. So I'm going to ask anyway, Jeff, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing really well, but there's this big sad inside of me, too, because being with everyone at Mac Observer for the past 13 years has been so fracking awesome. And knowing that ends, it doesn't really end. It just changes, because it's not like everyone at TMO is just suddenly dead to me, because you're not. It just the way I interact with everyone changes. So yeah, so it's sad, but at the same time it's exciting, because I'm moving on to something new and different.
Wait, does this mean I don't get my foot rubs anymore?
Nope.
Jeff, I thought you were going to talk to him about that. This is awkward.
Oh, and it's especially awkward because I said, you know, no one's dead to me, but Brian, you know, with a foot rub thing, well, you know.
Yeah, fair enough. This checks out.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Jeff, you are definitely going to be missed, but I'm really glad that we're able to give you a lovely send-off with the last episode of the show that you started. So
I don't know. I'm ready to just like laugh at him. So let's do it.
Well,
just like old times.
Yeah, it's going to be just like you're not actually leaving. So let's talk about the first thing we want to discuss, and that is the Mac App Store. I don't want to get too technical on anybody, but a whole bunch of it's been rejiggered. There are a number of categories that have been removed from the Mac App Store. Jeff,
because we were categorizing it wrong.
Yeah, apparently. Clearly I was holding it wrong. So Jeff, you want to clear this up for us?
Well, I can clear it up some, but I mean, there's big questions like WTF Apple. Okay. So what they did was they took out several category headings. So the apps that are in those categories are still there. It's just, you can't say like, show me everything in the finance category anymore, mm-hmm. because it's gone. So here are the categories they got rid of: education, entertainment, finance, health and fitness, lifestyle, medical, news, sports, travel, reference, and weather. And just to be clear, these changes are only on the Mac App Store. All those categories are still on the iOS App Store.
Yes, because that did lead to a very cranky Kelly when Jeff mentioned this. I'm like, how do you sell me an Apple Watch and get rid of health and fitness? But it was on the Mac.
So, but it was on the Mac. So, like, would you please think about what you're saying? What you just said may well be the proof in the pudding that Apple's doing something that makes sense here. Because as soon as you found out that it was the Mac App Store, you were cool with it.
Well, I was cool with health and fitness going, but finance is still a thing a lot of people do on their computers, and news is a thing a lot of people do on their computers.
That's not what you just said, though.
It was specifically about health and fitness was the one that I couldn't believe they were taking out of the iOS App Store, since a goodly portion of what happens with the iOS App Store is stuff that you get to also install on your watch. So that was the thing that made me grumpy about it. I don't know how much, like, medical is one of the categories. I don't know. I don't have a whole lot of medical apps on my computer. I don't know what those are for. I have some health and fitness stuff, you know, like I keep all of that on my iPhone. So, but like weather, I know a lot of people who have some sort of weather application on their computer. So I am curious what it was that caused some of these to go.
So there's should we cover the 10 categories that are remaining?
Yeah.
Yes. Here's what is still this is what's still there.
Yeah. And there are 10 categories. It's business, developer tools, games. This is apparently in alphabetical order. Graphics and design, music, photography, productivity, social networking, utilities, and video. Like where health and fitness apps go, where weather apps goes,
and
who knows?
Right. Like finance, you know, where would that be? Because I know, Jeff, you said it's in business now, but maybe it's productivity.
No, I'm guessing.
I don't know either.
Here's an interesting thing, Kelly. I decided to just start searching for different apps. Like I just typed in weather. Mm-hmm. To see what sort of weather apps come up on the Mac. And I've randomly picked one. What am I looking at? WeatherLive right now. So the category is there. It's still in the weather category. It's just not a category you can select anymore.
Then what category is it in now? It's still in the weather category. We just can't get to the weather category. So which of these 10 that's left do I click on in order to, I guess it doesn't matter, right? Like there's a million apps in the app store, and I'm supposed to be able to figure out which one I want by going to one of those categories if I'm trying to balance my checkbook. That seems...
Are there a million apps in the Mac app store? I don't think so.
There are definitely thousands.
I thought we got
there are thousands.
I thought we got an announcement about that. Maybe I'm completely mistaken.
Let's see here. Let's make some sausage. How many apps in the Mac App Store? App Store from Statista. So this is not the Mac App Store. So yeah, there's 2 million. Dated at some point here on Statista on the App Store. Not really sure.
Okay.
Well, everything I'm searching for that would fall in a category that that is no longer selectable, the categories mm-hmm. apparently are still there. They're just not selectable.
You just can't use them. Now, is it conceivable? It's like, what the heck, Apple? Come on, man. I'm so tired of everything being gimped out on the Mac. It's so annoying. It's just so annoying. So, like, is the issue that there weren't enough apps because people are pulling their apps, for instance, from the Mac App Store in those categories, so they're removing them? Is the issue that too many people were finding them and Apple had to fix that?
That's exactly how this feels. Like people were able to go find the apps they wanted and look at reasonably labeled categories. Like if I want a weather app, there's a weather category. And apparently that was too straightforward for people.
I'm looking at the editor's recommended apps. No weather, like there's not a single weather app that they recommend, apparently.
And I'm in my searches that I'm doing as I'm just trying things out. I decided, okay, let's add some filters. And so like if you want to limit your search to finance apps, mm-hmm. you can't because they've taken those categories away. So, yeah, I don't know. Apple was talking about how they've really improved discoverability in the Mac App Store and the iOS App Store. And this doesn't feel like improving discoverability to me.
It feels like the opposite. Nope.
There's not a single finance app that's recommended. What are the categories got taken away?
Education, entertainment, finance, health and fitness, lifestyle, medical, news, sports, travel, reference, weather.
Not really seeing any entertainment apps. Not really seeing any of those things in the editor's recommended. I mean, my point being that
there's not an alternate route.
They really seem to. You have to go looking for it. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, it does if you are a person who buys ads so that people will buy your weather app when someone searches weather in the app store.
Apple's not doing this to sell more ads.
Well, that's the only thing I can think of because we don't have the other half. Whatever the piece of this, like, here's the giveth, the taketh away. So I'm waiting for the giveth. Like, does this mean the app store is going to be rejiggered so that some of that stuff ends up being like a subcategory under something else? Because that would be okay if it was just a matter of the navigation was sort of a mess and they wanted to narrow that down a bit. But we don't see that yet. And I'm not trying to make an excuse. I'm still kind of grumpy about this because I know people who don't have the patience and aren't really interested in spending a bunch of time cruising around the app store just to see what's what. So I'm not interested. These are people who aren't interested in just sort of browsing the app store for the sake of seeing what there is that's there. If they go to the app store, they have a purpose. So like, I am here to download a weather app. I'm here to download an app for balancing my checkbook. I'm here for, you know, whatever it is. And they go in and they go find the thing they're looking for, and then they are done with the app store. So how are those folks supposed to find anything now easily?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
I know.
Apparently,
how
it just comes back to what we've always had to do, which is everyone tells each other, hey, here's the app I found.
Yeah, I was going to say, Google. I know what these people are, the people I'm thinking of, I know what they're going to do, and they're going to call me and they're going to say, I need a weather app. What do I do? Go to the app store, type in this app and here's what you get, and then download that one. I know it's a dollar, you know, or whatever. And here we go. And
well, it's Google apparently has our back because I just did weather apps on the Mac App Store and I get, you know, a bunch of weather apps on the Mac App Store.
Yeah. So they took the categories away to give Safari more mileage.
I don't know. I'm thinking Chaffin's razor is at play here.
Yeah.
And Kelly, I don't know if we've ever exposed you to Chaffin's razor, but, it's the idea that if something seems absolutely insane, it's because you're missing a key piece of information that would make whatever it is appear rational.
Yeah.
It's close.
All right, Mr. Chaffin, what is Chaffin's razor?
Either you're missing the information or the person who is behaving in an insane manner, a seemingly insane manner,
is missing
the information. If they had the information, they would no longer act in that insane manner.
Okay.
Their insane manner would not appear as such to you anymore.
If you had the missing information, you would no longer.
All right. Well.
That works too. So.
I look forward to discovering the missing information in this because so far, all I'm finding is we gave you a shiny new app store on Mojave, and now we've made it suck. And so far, I'm not finding the
greatness in that. We put a hood on it, but it's cool because you can look for things when you unzip it here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I'll not take two.
Yeah. Now the app store is confusing and weird looking, so that's going to be great.
now it's more GIMP.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, honestly, to me it just feels like the general trend has felt on macOS for a few versions now, which is the bumpers in the lanes. Like, they're Fisher pricing everything, you know, because even the stuff that you can do on the command line if you really need to, you know, even that has gotten more complicated as Apple introduces further features and just wants you to give up. Like, you know, of course you need our brand new file system and it doesn't work, you know, 100%, but you have to use it. And, you know, who needs to be able to see their library folder? And, you know, yeah, I could go back and be very cranky about a number of things that have happened on macOS lately. But what I would rather do is talk about something that's actually new and exciting from Apple. And that is something that's so new and exciting, most of us haven't even laid hands on one yet. And that is the new iPad Pro and that glorious USB-C connector. So, Brian, I want to ask you about this because when I looked at that, the first thing I thought was, well, it's about time they start standardizing on connectors. You know, and everybody was waiting for it to become USB-C anyway. So it was interesting to see that they finally pulled the trigger. And so the new iPads are going to have USB-C connectors for charging and data and all of the regular stuff that we're used to having a Lightning port for on iPads. But because it's USB-C, you can connect, and they've done some work so that you can connect all kinds of other things to it. You can connect a camera or a great big, I think they said a 4K display, and they showed off a number of other things that you can connect to your iPad. And to me, what I see in that is a whole bunch of potential for extra stuff that you could plug into that particular computer. What do you think, Brian?
Sure.
I was so excited to have you on the show today because of that sort of level of devastating insight. So I feel like there's a lot of potential there. Do you think there's a lot of potential there? Or do you think Apple's showing a bunch of stuff that's going to be the iPod sock of the iPad?
I don't know. I mean, like I'm still choking down my crow pie about saying how Apple would never ditch Lightning for a non-proprietary port. And I probably have like at least a third of that crow pie still to go. So
yeah, but you've had it with ice cream. So there's that.
I have. And
but I don't know how much that is because we just got three new phones that are all Lightning. So, you know, it's not 100% yet.
Yeah. Apple tends to change these ports not at the same time for some weird reason. So, and my point is that, I don't know what my point is. It's going to be interesting to see what people do with it for sure, and including perhaps novel ideas that Apple didn't necessarily think of.
See, that's the part I'm always the most interested in. How about you, Jeff?
Well, I liked the idea that Dave Hamilton came up with when we were chatting earlier today. And he was saying, well, you know, now you can connect a USB-C dock to your iPad Pro and you can have video out, audio out. And, you know, so you can do these other things that previously weren't an option, at least not in that way. So, you know, so I saw that and I thought, okay, that's actually really cool. I hadn't thought about using a dock with a new iPad, but there's no reason why you can't. And then it got me to thinking, is the USB-C iPad Pro Apple's sleeper Mac? Meaning, in the next year or two, they're going to come out with an A-series Mac laptop. And they're going to say, and look at this, we're running our own processors. Oh, and by the way, that USB-C iPad Pro that you already bought, it's now a Mac too.
Well,
and I don't know. I mean, that tablet has more horsepower than the new MacBook Air.
Yeah, but I don't think... I don't think Apple is going to rejigger macOS for touch. Of course, again, keep in mind that I did say Apple's not going to ditch Lightning for a non-proprietary port. So, you know, take this with a you know, big grain of salt or something, or a big bag of salt. But I think it's much more likely that Apple is going to continue to focus on making iOS more usable and powerful than Apple adding touch to macOS. I mean, it seems like, you know, Apple is, you know, paying the bare minimum of attention to macOS at all. Why confuse you know, their offerings by bringing touch to the Mac? I mean, that doesn't sit right with me.
I totally get it, and I don't like the idea of a touch interface.
No, I'm not even
of Mac OS.
I'm not even saying that. I'm not even criticizing. I think that Apple needs to do a toaster fridge. I just don't think it'll be by allowing Mac OS to be run on iPad hardware. That seems like that innovation is going, or that innovation that evolution is going to come from iOS, not macOS. That's what I meant.
Yeah, well, and maybe this is Apple tipping their hand at how some of this innovation is going to come about. I just have a feeling that Apple is going to be positioning the iPad Pro as an alternative for Mac laptops, not a replacement, but an alternative.
That's just where I fall in this. Is it seems like iOS is just going to sort of evolve on its own track. And what they're doing is the thing that everybody said Apple needed to do, if you recall, which was make the iPad something with enough horsepower that lots of people could use it as their primary machine, at least in short stretches, if not most of the time. So I think I don't know what we're going to end up actually calling the brand new iPad Pros, the USB-C ones, but whatever they are, I think that's going to end up being Apple's air quote budget laptop machine. Because I think that's where this is going to end up, because you can put a keyboard on it. So you can type a full regular keyboard so that you can type on it just as fast as you could before. You can do all these other things. And I think it's, you know, now we've got full Photoshop. Remember, that was the thing that they told us about that we were going to be able to see. And, mm-hmm. you know, once, and you've got reasonable versions of word processing apps and presentation apps, you know, things that you can use to build slide decks, whether you're Team Keynote or your Team PowerPoint, you can do both of those on an iPad. You can present it from the iPad. You can plug an iPad into a VGA thing or an HDMI thing if you have the right connector and hook that puppy to a projector and give your whole presentation on the computer that you built the presentation on. You can do all of this stuff now that you couldn't do before. And so this just continues to evolve and turn into something a little bigger and with a little more horsepower and with a little more capability. And I think the USB-C port is part of that evolution as far as the hardware goes. So I think that's actually why they went with the USB-C port and not the Lightning port, is so that you can plug it into whatever other USB-C stuff is out there. So, you know, if you get the hub, if you have a powered USB-C hub and you plug a keyboard into it and you plug a screen into it and, you know, maybe you have a Bluetooth trackpad or whatever, and then you come and you set your iPad on your desk and you plug that into the hub, it's now a computer the way most people think of a traditional computer. So I think there's something to that, and I'm really excited to see where that goes.
So you're thinking maybe something along the lines of the Duo Dock from days of old.
I am. Although I don't think it's going to resemble a VCR quite as strongly.
No, probably not. But still, man, the Duo Dock is pretty awesome in its day.
It was so cool. I had one for a while and it was so the neatest. And I like the idea of it being super easy to unplug that one cable and then pick up that iPad and take it with you and go do whatever it was you wanted to go do out in the world. So apparently there are people who like to go outside and do stuff like that. So, you know, for them, the iPad's going to be super fantastic. So I'm very interested to see where it goes. I think we did this the other day. I am very happy with the iPad Pro I got last Christmas. I have the 9.7. I enjoy it very much. It makes me very happy. I think it's the 9.7. Whatever the one that was new as of Monday was still the current iPad, but the small size. That's the one I have. Mm-hmm. I have moments of weakness where I think about figuring out how much trade-in value it would have if I wanted to get one of these new ones. But mostly, I'm probably going to stick with what I have. Now, Jeff, you said you were going to get a new one. Is that correct?
Well, I'm hoping to get a new one. I really want the new one. I have a first generation 12.9-inch iPad uh-huh. Pro. It's awesome. It's still a very capable product.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, I was writing articles on it yesterday at one point, and I love it. But I really like what Apple's doing with the new 12.9-inch iPad Pro, and I would love to be able to upgrade to that. and also not have an Apple Pencil sticking out the side of my iPad when I'm typing.
Word.
That would be super great. I can see that being super awesome. Brian, are you in the market for a new iPad?
Yep, I'm going to get a new one. I skipped last year's.
What do you have now?
First iPad Pro.
The first gen iPad Pro. Okay. So I am looking forward to hearing how that works out for you, Brian.
Thank you.
Mostly because I'm really interested in the new hardware, and I hope that I know somebody who lives a little closer to me who's buying a new one who will let me see how it stacks up against the iPad I have, because maybe it will help me feel more secure in my decision to keep mine, because I'm probably going to keep it. So this has been fun. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up for today. Brian, thanks so much for joining us.
Yep, indeed. Good to be here on Jeff's last day.
And Jeff, thanks for spending part of your last day here in the towers with us on TDO.
And thanks for having me on. You know, if I'm going to spend my last day here with people, I'm glad it's you guys.
Aw, thanks.
Aw, so are we.
I'm going to make sure everybody else hears that, by the way, so that they understand that we're better.
We're the favorites, and that's what counts. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what counts.
All right. I think the three of us are going to go ahead and say goodbye. We have a bunch of warm fuzzies, apparently. We have to go divvy up. So thanks, guys, for being here. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont, and this has been the Mac Observer Daily Observations Podcast for Friday, November 2nd, 2018. I will talk to you Monday, and until then, be excellent to each other.